FM, W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM, W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Police in a city 40 miles southwest of Chicago are looking for the person who shot and killed eight people yesterday and today in three locations. CBS's Peter King.
Joliet, Illinois Police Chief Bill Evans says there is a suspect.
Romeo Nance. Nance is 23 years old. He's 6'2", 160 pounds. He's an African-American male.
Evans says he knew the people he's accused of killing today in neighboring homes.
A total of seven people were found shot to death in these two locations.
The first victim was found shot to death yesterday. So far, there is no known motive. Peter King, CBS News.
New Hampshire voters, like the candidates, are making a last-minute push to try to get others on their side. CBS's Matt Piper is there.
There are those like Augusta of Dublin, New Hampshire, who know who they're voting for in the state's primary.
I'm hoping for a major win for Donald Trump.
And there's Dottie, who says she'll write in for Joe Biden and is a never-Trumper.
I don't think I really have much hope because I think he will get in again, and it's a little scary to me.
Louise hates that this year appears to simply be a rerun.
I'm worried about the fact that we have the same candidates that we're voting for from 4 years ago.
Do you think it's even a race at this point?
I was hoping it was, but, you know, that Trump train is powerful.
Matt Piper, CBS News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Many residents in Memphis, Tennessee have had little or no water for 4 days now. The big chill froze water mains across the city. Once all of the pipes are fixed, the water has to be tested. Doug McGowan oversees the Memphis water system.
We can send those results to the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation so that we can lift that boil water advisory, which I anticipate will happen into next week.
U.S. military officials say the latest strikes targeting Houthi underground storage sites in Yemen have been successful. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland.
This effort seems to be more deep-seated, more looking at longer-term Houthi capabilities to degrade their longer-term capabilities as opposed to simply concentrating on those missiles that are preparing to be launched.
Martin Luther King Jr.'s youngest son, Dexter Scott King, has died at 62. The King Center in Atlanta says he died at his home in California following a battle with prostate cancer. Atlanta Journal-Constitution reporter Ernie Suggs knew King.
He was a gatekeeper to make sure that his family's image, and his father particularly, and his mother, that their image was protected.
Anti-war pamphlets rained down on the court at the Australian Open, tossed by a pro-Palestinian protester, disrupting the fourth-round match between Alexander Zverev and Cameron Norrie of Britain. The protester was taken away, and Zverev won the match. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Hospital Sisters Health System announced Monday that they are closing two hospitals in western Wisconsin. The Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls will both close by the end of April. They say the closures are due to prolonged operational and financial stress placed on the hospitals that began with COVID. Vice President Kamala Harris was in suburban Waukesha County Monday while the legal battle over reproductive rights in Wisconsin wages on.
In a state whose motto is forward, these extremists are trying to take us backward. But we're not having that.
State lawmakers took testimony Monday on a bill to put a shorter window on legal abortion to a statewide referendum this spring. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Bucks play the Pistons. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee and Detroit again at Little Caesars Arena, part of a doubleheader. The Bucks won the first game Saturday night, 145-131. College basketball, after losing one on the road to Penn State, the Badgers picked up a win at home at the Kohl Center over Indiana, 91-79. Wisconsin, now ranked 11th in the nation, heads to Minnesota in a game against the Gophers tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers, with exit meetings with their coaches after losing to the 49ers, 24-21. Matt LaFleur.
Well, I think anytime time, there's a finality to the season. It's always tough unless you're the last team standing. And for us to lose this game certainly stings, and I'm sure it's going to sting for a long time. But I was proud of the effort of our guys, our ability to weather some real adversity throughout the course of the season and stick together. And I told the guys, you know, I think part of the reason it stings so bad right now is we fully believed and fully expected to win this game.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, we'll have some areas of rain and snow, some freezing rain a possibility as well, with a winter weather advisory in effect. A low in the low 30s. And rain and snow again a possibility for tomorrow. More on the snow side in the morning, more on the rain possibilities for the afternoon. Highs in the mid-30s. Right now it's 33.
Hey everybody, Toddy's off, but Trigvi Olsen's in the guest host chair. He has Joe Trippi and Stuart Stevens tomorrow at noon on the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go.
This
go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Online at cafelatte.com.
Hey, Cudigy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 22, then Tuesday remains overcast through the day with a high of 33. Vinaigrette can add the perfect complement to your next home-cooked meal. Taste test their wide selection of oils and vinegars, and they'll bottle it for you right on the spot. Vinaigrette is located at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Check them out at vinaigrettemn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Carnegie, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I'm awake. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and later on we're going to have Leah Hale, award-winning documentary director, and with an upcoming documentary. And we're starting off the show with our friend Dr. Stately. He's the CEO of Native American Community Development and our friend here on Native Roots Radio. Dr. Stately, welcome as always, and great to see you. I was hoping to have a little talk with you before we get the director on about how you were involved and your young ones were involved.
Sure. I'm happy to talk about that. So I know Leah Hale. How I met Leah was through the community, just work stuff that goes on in the community. But she reached out to me one day, I think on Facebook Messenger. She sent me an email message, and she said, hey, I'm shooting a film, a documentary film on Henry Boucher's life, and we want to do some B-roll footage. Of just some Native kids skating, and we were thinking we'd like to have your sons do that. Her husband, Shane, has been a lacrosse coach with Indigenous Twin Cities Native Lacrosse, and my sons have been playing with TCNL since they were about 7 years old or so. So they played with TCNL for about 4 or 5 years until they turned about 12, I think, 12 or 13. And so Shane knew us and knew about the boys and knew that they played hockey. And I think we were just, you know, at the right place in the right time. It's pretty cool. Get the invitation and the ask. And, you know, we showed up at the rink. It was in St. Paul. We shot in, I forget what the name of the rink was now. It's right there on, not too far from your house, actually. Edgecombe by Edgecombe. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And, nice old rink, you know, one of the first ones around, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, the boys, got to, you know, hang out and, shoot. Like they took B-roll footage of them, like doing maneuvers and skating and shooting and passing, puck passing and those kinds of things, just to kind of include in the documentary. And then, they had some time with Henry, and they did a couple of other things with Henry. They took some photos with him and stuff like that too. What was really cool was, one of the producers was like, can we get one of your sons to wear this red shirt and this red bandana, you know, and kind of like, you know, shoot him like he's the young Henry Boucher, you know,
yeah, kind of like
skating on that, which was kind of cute. It was really cool. And they took him into the locker room and they kind of like, you know, dressed him up and brought him out. And I was like, oh. I was laughing because I was like, oh my God, it is like a little young Henry Boucher. You know? Like that classic picture of him. Yeah.
With the headband. When I was young, everyone thought I was Henry Boucher because I had long hair and I guess I looked Indian and I always wore the sweatband, the, you know, Bill Walton wore it too and Henry wore it. And I got to see his jersey too from back then when he played in mm-hmm. high school. And because I don't know if you remember this or if it's part of the documentary, he got bloodied and came back and there was blood on the original War Road jersey. So that Grace, there's a collector in St. Paul that has all his jerseys. When we were selling his book at the store, they came and did a signing and I got to see those jerseys. The only jersey they couldn't find is the red Saints jersey. Nobody could find, and that was the end of the Minnesota Fighting Saints. They wore a red jersey instead of the blue one.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story. It was really cool. What I loved about that day is, you know, I took them there, so they're doing, you know, it's like 6 hours or so of shooting film, and Henry wasn't on the ice the entire time, so we sat, him and I sat outside the rink, like in the, you know, in the waiting area between locker rooms, like where we could see the rink and the shooting. And he and I chatted and talked, and it had to be like one of the most coolest 2 or 3 hours I've spent in my life, just chatting with him and talking with him. And, you know, he told me stories about, you know, growing up. He told me stories about his hockey days. He told me stories about, you know, all the women in his life.
You mean his mom and grandma, right?
I know. Yeah, right. I should have recorded on my phone so I could write his memoir, but
yeah.
The real story, the real Henry Boucher, I'm just teasing, but he was like such an amazing man just to sit and talk with. It reminded me of talking to, like, you know, others in my family, and you know, I wasn't really super young when he played. I was probably in my late teens, early 20s, I think, when he was a player. I moved away from Minnesota when I was young, so I wasn't really like around a whole lot when he was playing in Minnesota anyway. But also it was just like really cool to hear him talk about his experience. I asked him to give, you know, at one point I asked him to talk to my sons about, you know, his efforts and his challenges getting into the NHL, because that's kind of like their dream as well. And and I was like, what advice would you give them? Could you give them any advice? He was just like, he goes, dream big and work really hard, he goes, and pray, because it takes talent, it takes hard work, and it takes a little bit of luck.
Yeah, definitely. Oh. Well, we had the opportunity, we had our Native Roots Trading Post at Shakopee's powwow, and he came up and he had a walker, and I hadn't seen him because of COVID and all that. But it was really great to see him, and he had his, you know, he had his War Road hat on, and it was good hanging out with him. And yeah, we really miss him. He's been on the show a lot, and we did a lot of book signings with his book. And as a matter of fact, at the fair, we sold out. Like we had, geez, I think 25 of them, and they were gone, and they were all autographed. And now I only have one left here. I'm looking at.
That's my Christmas present you're going to give me next year, right?
Yeah. Exactly. We'll exchange gifts this year for the first time ever.
No, it was like we had good conversation. We laughed. He told me some jokes. He talked about, you know, his time in Alaska. He was in Alaska for a while and then came back. And, yeah, it just... really wonderful, generous, beautiful man who was like, you know, kind and considerate and just like willing to talk about his life experiences, telling me the good, the bad, and some of the ugly. And, you know, he was like, he's just a genuine human being. It was really a beautiful afternoon. Like, it was something I'll remember the rest of my life.
Yeah. And Henry was deep into the mascot fight, and we got to see him do his work in a good way, and got to work with him on that. Hey, wow, we're here with Dr. Stately, and up next, Aaliyah Hale, award-winning documentary and filmmaker, and we are going to talk about this documentary coming up and when it's going to happen. And it's great Dr. Stately's here today, too, because of his connection. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID-19. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Now is a perfect and exciting time to plan your next National Eagle Center adventure. When you visit this winter season, you can meet and learn all about the newest bald eagle ambassador, Perseus. Plus, the center is your headquarters for winter eagle information and experiences, including weekly winter bald eagle counts, golden eagle information, unforgettable expert-led field trips, and small group private eagle habitat tours for your family and friends. Make eagles part of your 2024 and plan your visit or experience today online at nationaleaglecenter.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic himself, and then also our special guest. Not that you're not special, Dr. Stately. We know you're special in a special way, but we have Aaliyah Hale, award-winning director and producer, and we're going to be talking about her new documentary coming out, and really excited to have you on, and welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hello, Robert. Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it. Hami Taku Yepi, Nina Yushkiyan Wachia Kapie, Chante Washdea Nape Chiyuza Pie.
Good one. Hey, we want to talk about a little bit about your documentary and when it's coming out, but and it's called The Electric Indian, and let's get right into it and talk about the process and how you came up with this, and I know Dr. State or Dr. I should say Henry Boucher. His career was cut short. He was in 1978, I think, was the last year he played, and he had that vicious thing happen to him with his eye. And I don't know if he saw double vision the rest of his life or what. I can't remember.
Well, before we get into the details of the story, I just wanted to say that we're really excited. Like you mentioned, my name is Leah Hale, and I come from the Dakota and Dene people, and I work as a documentary producer and director for Twin Cities PBS, and I'm really excited and really overwhelmed as well to bring this documentary, this precious story that I worked on over the past year, into the world. We actually are planning on having a statewide release. Our broadcast date is coming up. It will be on TPT Channel 2 on March 26th. And I believe the time is 8 p.m. And I just kind of wanted to mention two pre-showings of the film as well. Just in case anyone wants to get a sneak peek of the film, we're going to be having a community premiere in the town of War Road, Minnesota during Hockey Day, Minnesota. And that date is coming up this Friday. And it'll be Friday the 26th at 3 p.m. in War Road, Minnesota. And the second one, for those of you in the cities, we are planning on having a screening at the Great Northern Film Festival on Wednesday, January 31st at 7 p.m. So I just wanted to throw those out there before we get into the story.
Yeah, and we'll have Haley bring those dates up again and yourself because it's really important. And I just have to say how refreshing and important it is that a Native's doing a story on a Native, and that us telling our own stories and having a conduit like TPT is just a home run and a grand slam in my eyes, and really great work on your part, and also great, great partnership.
Yeah, I'm really thankful, especially to the funders. This is actually my third feature-length documentary in co-production with Vision Maker Media. And I'm really thankful to their organization. They're the leading source of public media funding that Native filmmakers like myself get the opportunity to apply for production grants and post-production grants. So they're co-production on the film. And we also get funding from the Minnesota State Legacy Amendment, as well as the Manitou Foundation. Also helped us out with the funding. So I just wanted to mention them because definitely it takes, you know, funding to make these films happen. So I'm really grateful to TPT as well for believing in my experience and my expertise in crafting Indigenous storytelling.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important. Do you have any footage of his playing days in high school or of course, in the NHL, and then he played for the Minnesota Fighting Saints here in St. Paul, where I live, and he's been a legend for so long.
Yes, those are some of my, you know, best footage that I really relied on. I was fortunate enough to work in collaboration with Henry Boucher himself. This film has been, you know, a project that he was dreaming of for many decades. And over those decades, he started collecting a lot of these footages himself. So when we finally, you know, got the green light to start production, he dropped off at the station this huge box, and it was filled of, you know, like VHS tapes and all of these different, you know, just all of these footage that he had collected over the years of himself. So there's footage that is found in a documentary all the way. We actually have audio tape of him in the, I believe it's the 68th or the 1968 game when he played in the high school state hockey championship. I believe it was against Edina. So it was definitely a valuable audio that we got to include within the documentary, along with this like unique interview of him after his first initial eye injury that he had during that high school game. And, you know, everything from NHL clips of him when he was with the Detroit Red Wings all the way to the Olympics, and especially that critical moment that changed his life, his eye injury that happened, I believe, when he was on the Minnesota Fighting Saints. So definitely there's quite a few footage, moving footage sequences that we created throughout the film.
I believe he was on the North Stars, and was it the North Stars or the Flyers or the one that hit?
Yeah, sorry, I got that confused. The Fighting Saints was afterwards. It was the Minnesota North Stars.
Exactly. Somebody's playing a flute background there, Mr. Stately.
Snacks already. Yes, it is. I just have two hungry hockey players. I just got home. Speaking of injuries, I'll get an injury if I don't leave them.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I appreciate was that he, and people don't understand this, but in the old days, there was only one hockey tournament. There was not an A league or a B league or a C league. There was only one division. So when a little school like War Road came down to play the mighty Edina or any city school, they were at disadvantage in many ways. And I think we to accentuate the greatness of him in that tournament, it would be hard to understate because of that.
Yeah, there's one story in particular, which I believe we captured from the current mayor of War Road, Robert Marvin. And he, when we interviewed him, he talked about when the injury took place, when he, I'm not too sure how it all went down, but he got injured. And it was during, you know, probably the final moments of the game. And he said once they took him off the ice, the whole arena started, you know, chanting, we want Henry, we want Henry. And he just said it was just like so crazy because he's never witnessed that experience of like this whole, you know, arena chanting one person's name and, you know, wanting them to return. So it was just a unique story that he told within the film.
You know what's really crazy too? He played, of course, in the War Road High School, and then played only 1 year with the Winnipeg Jets in '69 and '70, and then went right into the NHL. And I mean, how often does that happen? That's totally amazing. And especially back then, there was only 8 teams in the NHL, so not very many Americans, mostly people from Canada that were playing in the NHL at the time. So again, just unbelievable skills and how he came up, and people don't realize that. And I'm sure your documentary is going to talk about how great of a player, and not only that, but the obstacles that he had to go through.
Yes, not only do we mention, you know, just the trajectory of his hockey career, but we also, you know, talk about his personal life and, you know, starting with what it was like growing up in a all white town and, you know, kind of being the only Native on this team, or even when he gets a little older, the only Native in that junior league team, and especially in the Olympics. So once he, you know, you get, you know, to that grand stage, you're kind of always dealing with those factors of being the only person of color. So kind of having to deal with discrimination and, you know, just the challenges that come with, you know, having to hold on to what we know of our culture and trying to figure out ways to, you know, integrate that into whatever profession or whatever skill set that you're going after, trying to utilize both worlds and trying to make the best of it.
Hey, can you hold on for another segment, Leah Hale?
Sure.
Awesome. Hey, we got a break and pay the bills. We're talking about the Electric Indian, the Henry Boucher story, and we're here with Anthony Stately and Haley, and we're going to rile up here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York, and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to L.A. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to News, Talk, and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Scheduler to set up your service appointment today. Rudy Luther Toyota on the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 22, then Tuesday remains overcast through the day with a high of 33. Vinaigrette can add the perfect complement to your next home-cooked meal. Taste test their wide selection of oils and vinegars, and they'll bottle it for you right on the spot. Vinaigrette is located at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Check them out at vinaigrettemn.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Leah Hale, a documentary producer of The Electric Indian, the story of our friend, late great friend Henry Boucher. And also, it'll be on the TPT on March 26th. So check your local listings. And there's a couple other showings we'll ask about. But, you know, in between the commercial break, Haley came up with a couple great questions. And I don't know if you know this about me, but for 30 years, I taught film and video in the high school. And would love to know how you got your start and what got you into, of course, it's very traditional that we tell stories, but how you got into film and documentary work.
Sure. So I grew up in the city of Pico Rivera, that is near East Los Angeles. So, you know, I grew up as a young Native youth in the Native community in the Los Angeles area, which is probably, I think, home to the largest off-reservation community. So, you know, growing up so close to Hollywood and never seeing ourselves, you know, on the big screen, that really made an impact on me since I loved going to movies. but you know what? I think where I got my early interest was probably from my mother. My mother, her name is Marsheila Hale, and she actually was an actress, you know, and when I was growing up. And when I was young, I used to see her get roles, you know, kind of like in the background on shows like Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, you know, and she would be like in the background with like a buckskin on, like walking by or something, you know. It was just always, yeah, things that were always, that picked us pre-1900, you know, and I always, you know, just kind of thought about those things as a young person. And, you know, I remember as early as like 8 years old, getting together with my siblings and cousins and, you know, cranking up the Disney movie Cinderella and having the big VHS camcorder and, you know, acting out our own scenes, but, you know, in a way, indigenizing it. So that was my early interest, you know. But so I always carry that, you know, motivation to want to be a storyteller. So I ended up going to the University of California State University Fullerton. I went through their radio, television, film program. So that's kind of where I got there.
Or she graduated from there, but yeah, very cool.
Yeah, that is cool. So how long you been collaborating with TPT? Because you said you did two other, would you like to mention the two other documentaries you did too?
Sure. So I believe this coming March, it will be my 12th year at Twin Cities PBS. Time does fly by. When I first moved out here, I believe it was in around like 2009, 2010, I actually got my graduate degree from the University of South Dakota in American Indian Studies. And I heard of this awesome Dakota language program at the U. So that's kind of what sparked my interest to come out this way. And, you know, I really fell in love with the community. It's such a vibrant Native community here. And, you know, I really, instead of going back to Los Angeles, I kind of wanted to see if I was able to, you know, get into the film industry here. And TPT was my doorway in. So, like I said before, Vision Maker Media has really been a supporter of my work. So they funded my very first documentary, which was entitled The People's Protectors. And that was actually a film that focused on the Native American experience in the Vietnam War. And my second feature was Bring Her Home, which was about following three women's lives and how they, you know, dealt with missing and murdered Indigenous women, the epidemic, and how, you know, they faced challenges in their lives. But really, it's a film about, you know, finding that resiliency in yourself, within yourself and in your community to, you know, come together and figure out ways to not only bring attention to the issue, but find ways of healing. So that's what Bring Her Home is about.
Yeah, well, I've seen that one, and that is a beautiful story. And one of the things, how long is the TPT documentary coming up, the Electric Indian?
So we really try to tailor our films to fit, you know, programming, and we always try to aim for a national spot. Right now we're in conversations on getting it released nationally, but so usually we try to make them convenient to fit in programming slots of an hour. So it's around 57 minutes. That's what usually my films are, feature length ones are.
Boy, being an editor and a filmmaker myself, it's got to be hard, because it sounds like you had boxes of great footage and also Henry at the time, and talking to the people that played with him and grew up with him. That had to have been hard.
Yeah. I spent many, many months. I would say I started my pre-production planning in the late summer of 2022. And really what really got us going was I received a call from Henry Boucher, and he basically just told me directly that his health was declining pretty mm-hmm. rapidly. And he, you know, shared with me a lot of what the ailments that he was going through and just the challenges that he was facing. So he kind of told me, you know, he's the one that lit that fire under us. And he was like, we got to get it going. So, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of like dropped everything what we were doing at that time and really just focused. How are we going to get, how are we going to like, you know, just get this plan, get this ship going. So I really spent, you know, a good chunk of the fall writing and coming mm-hmm. up with the way that I'm going to tell the story, how I plan to, you know, interweave the history, which was really shown through the footage and archival footage and stills, and how I'm going to, you know, weave the story to present time, and even figuring out, you know, what moments, what stories do I want to try and reenact and recreate, which is mm-hmm. where Anthony Stately's son, you know, came in. And I already, before I even reached out to Anthony, I already, you know, had the vision. And I am during my research, I came across his sons, which I love so dearly. And I seen an article that was written about them in The Circle. And I was just like, man, this is so perfect. You know, I always try to find ways to bring in other indigenous, you know, talent, not only like what we see visually, but what we hear. And what was so awesome was getting the support and the agreement for Keith Sokola to let us allow us to license his music to use in future within the documentaries. So, you know, I really try to bring on as much as I can with a limited amount of budget, you know, because we work with like opposed to, you know, Hollywood documentaries or, you know, these Netflix documentaries where their budgets are like multi-million dollar budgets, but mm-hmm. ours is a few hundred thousand dollars. So, you know, we do what we can with it to do what we can to make the best story.
Well, Dr. Stately was saying how great of an experience it was for him and his kids, right, Dr. Stately?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was amazing. And it was like just really, you know, When I was into photography, and I think, you know, I don't know, I think I told you this when we first started conversating. I used to live in Los Angeles, so I kind of had like this idea of, well, you know, went there as a young man, I'm going to be a Hollywood Indian. I was going to be a country singer too. Or whatever.
Oh, cool.
Wow. Yeah.
These are like big dreams at 22, 23, uh-huh. you know, like, you know. And yeah, so I was like, I've been around a lot of that world because my former partner was also a makeup artist, worked in that industry, and then he also awesome. Was like a fashion photographer and worked with a lot of Hollywood folks. So I kind of lived in that area and worked in that area. But this is the first time I've sort of been that close up to people actually filming. Like I usually have, like, maybe I was lucky to be enough on a sound stage and it was happening way over there, so I didn't really see all that stuff that went into it, but I was there on the ice with them and watching them and, you know, watching them do their work. And I was just really impressed at like how like amazing and professional they all were. And it was such a wonderful experience. You know, they gave my sons a little stipend. They were so proud of their little check that they got when it came in the mail to their. Yeah. I was like, I would have done this for free. Sure. I don't care about that.
That's awesome.
It was really, you know, the best payment was spending time with Henry and talking to him. I was like, this is the most amazing experience.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's great.
Awesome, for sure.
Definitely. So could you give those dates again for the War Road premiere and also in the Twin Cities again?
Sure. So the War Road premiere is going to be happening during Hockey Day Minnesota, and that's this Friday, January 26th at 3 p.m. And a Minneapolis screening is going to be taking place during the Great Northern Film Festival on Wednesday, January 31st at 7 p.m.
Well, we'll be there, darn it. And one last, we got just a minute left. One last thing. What do you feel like one of the most important things that people, anyone watching this, is the takeaway of the Henry's story?
you know what? I think of one of his last lines in the film, and he says, "If you're going through hell, just keep going and get through it, because the positives will start to happen." And then to me, I felt like that line summed up, you know, the whole film, because really it's about, you know, overcoming our personal challenges and finding that resiliency within us to succeed and be the best at what it is that you put your heart into.
Wow, beautiful. Leah, come on the show before the premiere here on TPT too, and let's get people out there watching it. Really appreciate you being on with us, and we're going to be rooting for you, and what a great, great story that you're going to be telling. Pinigigi for coming on.
Wopita Taka, thank you for having me.
All right. Hey. Bye. All right. Up next, Dr. Stately. Oh, we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
Life can be hectic. Sometimes the pressure can feel like too much, and the emotions can be overwhelming. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
How?
Hey, wow. How exciting for the community. We're here with Dr. Stately here, CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And it's fun having a small community and get connected. And your kids, your boys are in this documentary. Mm-hmm. Proud dad time, and it'll be alive forever.
Yeah, I think that's pretty special. It's kind of cool. You know, in a couple decades from now, they'll be able to show it to their kids and be like, look, there I am.
Yeah.
I think I saw that clip of them in the trailer, Dr. Stately, in the headband.
Oh, that made the trailer. It's cool. So she sent me quite a while ago. She sent me the original, like she sent me a link to the unfinished, like the almost completed production. You know, like no color correction yet. It was like I felt like I was watching, you know, video of in the late 60s, early 70s. Like the whole thing felt like it was like that, because none of it had been color corrected yet. It was like, you know, it had the little lines through it, like, you know, you see like when you watch your Super 8 film. It produced this whole like feeling of nostalgia for me. I was like remembering, like, you know, being a young man growing up in the Twin Cities watching hockey. We used to go to North Stars hockey all the time when I was a kid. You know, my grandpa Erie and my grandpa Paul would take us to those hockey games whenever he had free tickets. And also some, my mom was friends with, I want to say Bill Chapman. He used to take us to games too. Anyway, yeah, and it was just a really wonderful experience. And I was happy to like have my sons be able to meet like somebody of Henry Boucher's, you know,
right,
stature and history making. I wanted them to understand, like, you know, that, you know, greatness looks like a lot of things. It doesn't look like, you know, like necessarily, you know, although I think, you know, people like Mark Fleury, like, you know, all the attention he got for like wearing the masks on the Wild Thing, the Dakota mask on those kinds of things. Well, that's greatness and that's beautiful in all kinds of really important, meaningful ways. Here's a man, a Native man who's from Minnesota, who grew up in a small, poor community and was able to get all the way to the NHL. And, you know, and worked hard to get there. They try to remind them of that. Like it takes a lot of hard work and it takes dedication and believe yourself. And
absolutely. You know, the 69 Minnesota State Tournament where he was injured, they lost in overtime to Edina, and he's considered one of the greatest players ever to play in Minnesota hockey. And just to read that and know that, this documentary is going to be awesome because, again, we're getting to tell our own stories, Dr. Stately, and that's so cool.
Well, I think that's really meaningful. It's an important piece of like history to commemorate, and it's also and institutionalize so that everybody can knows this is like the truth, the story about his life, mm-hmm, and his pathway and his roadway to get to where he was at. I think it's important that other Native boys and girls see that experience and understand it, and they can see themselves in that person because he reflects back to them, you know, who they are as Indigenous people, and understanding like, you know, what is possible when you have a dream and you have a vision and you're passionate and you're willing to work hard for something. And I was really happy that I was able to sort of expose my sons to that time with him. I remember that we were sitting here, and I was sitting, I think, here at the dining room table, and in my house, and I heard the news. It was late at night. I heard the news that Penny had passed, and mm-hmm, somebody had texted me, and I was like, oh, you know, I took a deep breath. I was like, you know, I actually gasped. I was like, I knew his health was fragile. We talked a little bit about that. He talked about his health condition. He talked about how important this movie was to have him get it completed. I was, you know, in awe of him. He was really proud of, you know, all of his progeny that he created that are amazing hockey players too. You know, mm-hmm, all of his grandchildren, his children and grandchildren who play hockey and who are continuing that legacy that he started. And I think that's really just a beautiful thing that we have that documented, right? And that we have that story can't be untold now. And so
right. It's
a really amazing thing.
Well, that makes me think of what was it, 2 or 3 years his grandson was in the hockey tournament with playing for War Road and also had mm-hmm long hair and wear the headband in honor mm-hmm of his grandfather.
Yeah. So, and his family is just really wonderful people. I remember when my sons won the state tournament a couple of years ago, I called Jason Shakopee's dad because my sons are like, you know, in awe of him, and TJ Oshie and that whole family system, really proud of them. And, you know, and like him, I was thinking about like Leah's comments as she was being interviewed during your conversation. Like them, my sons are the only Native kids in their whole entire association. They don't see a whole lot of other Native kids on the ice playing with them. Mm. And it is a very, very deeply white dominated sport, and they've had some of their own experiences of like, you know, racism, both covert and overt, and it's been challenging to support them through that as they grow up and be young men and go out into the world and try to find their place. And, you know, having these conversations with them about, you know,
Yeah.
It's that internet.
It's crazy, Haley. I just got to read a couple things here. And one of the things was that he was injured by Dave Forbes of the Boston Bruins. He was assaulted in a stick, publicized stick incident. And it left Henry with a cracked bone around his eye and blurred vision. And he tried to sue the NHL. He was out of the NHL by, I think he was 28 years old. And that's the sad fact. And, you know, some of the things that the documentary, Leia and Dr. Stately were alluding to, he had some rough times there. And then he was sobered up and really has been part and helped the community for the rest of his life. So he's going to be greatly missed. Greatly missed.
Yeah. Well, and Leia's film, the documentary that she has coming out, The Electric Indian, if you can't make it up to War Road to see that premiere this weekend, they will be doing a release of it January 31st here in the Twin Cities from 7 to 9 p.m. And this will be aired at the Main Cinema, which is 115 Southeast Main Street. Tickets are $15, and you can look up more information at thegreatnorthernfestival.com.
We got less than a minute. Dr. Stately's back. Any final words, feelings? It's always great to see you, and you know what a great thing to be a part of coming up.
Yeah, it was a deep honor to be part of it. You know, there's no greater sport in the United States other than hockey. No, I'm just kidding.
Whoa, wait a minute. No, hockey is pure sport when it's played right, you know, and in the young people play it right because they go back up and down and work their skills. You know, the old Rodney Dangerfield line, I was at a boxing match and a hockey game broke out. That's the way it was in the 70s, and I think it's less fighty now, but it's a skill. It's a big skill.
Yeah, it teaches them a lot of life lessons, which is really great.
Right on. Hey, Pina Gigi, Dr. Stately, thanks for coming on. And as always, we're still here. We are the seventh generation. This has been Native Roots Radio.
Free Leonard Peltier. No.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
With 2024 here, reserve space for your gathering, either for family, friends, work, or a belated holiday get-together at the Park Tavern. The Park Tavern offers private and semi-private party spaces like their party room, the atrium, the 11th frame, and their bowling lanes, and they can accommodate any size party, large or small. They have bowling, food, and beverage packages for any budget, and they're ready to help you every step of the way, making your job fun and easy. For more information or to schedule your event, call 952-929-6810 or go to parktavern.net. Getting the party started is easy with help from the Park Tavern.
Your radio station for The Resistance, The David Pakman Show, weekdays at 2 p.m. on AM 950 KTNF St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
She's backing Trump. Another blow to Haley days after Senator Tim Scott endorsed him. South Carolina's GOP leadership has largely lined up against Haley, who is arguing voters need to make...
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
CBS News Brief. We have breaking news. Police in Joliet, Illinois say a man suspected of shooting and killing eight people over the span of 2 days is now dead. They say 23-year-old Romeo Nance shot and killed himself after a confrontation with law enforcement today in a small town southwest of San Antonio, Texas. Voting in the New Hampshire primary begins in less than 30 minutes. Nikki Haley spent the day warning voters about Donald Trump.
Chaos follows him. You know I'm right. Chaos follows him. And we can't be a country in disarray and have a world on fire and go through four more years of chaos because we won't survive it.
In a 5-4 ruling, the Supreme Court says Border Patrol agents can cut the razor wire installed by Texas along the southern border. But CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson says the fight's not over.
It's also not the end of the story. This case will still be litigated. This is not a decision on the merits. This is a decision based on an emergency application.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Groove.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden will be in Superior on Thursday to talk about the bipartisan infrastructure bill. He's coming on the heels of the announcement that Wisconsin and Minnesota are getting $1 billion to replace the Blatnik Bridge that connects Superior to Duluth. Details on exactly when and where the president will talk have not yet been released. Vice President Kamala Harris came to Big Bend, Wisconsin on Monday to tout reproductive rights. Wisconsin agriculture officials are reminding farmers to apply for crop insurance premium rebates through the end of January. The coverage is only offered on a first-come, first-served basis. There's no limit on acres an applicant can apply for.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.